Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name's Taylor, and today I talked to a runner who had quite the first marathon experience. Think about your first marathon, and then add rain, running on your own when most of the other marathoners switched to the half marathon because of weather, and then add aid stations that were few and far between for the last 13 miles. That times 10 is the race experience that this runner had, and now she's back training for her second marathon, which will be her redemption at the 26.2 distance. I'm going to let her tell it, so let's go ahead and jump right into her story. Please welcome Emma. Emma, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I hope you're having a great weekend. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, of course. Of course. We were just talking about it a little bit, but came across you on TikTok. You have a little bit of a presence on there and you talk a lot about your running journey. So really excited to just kind of break down your first marathon experience and what's coming up next for you. But before we get there, how did you get involved in this world in the first place?
Yeah, so I started running in high school as just a cross country runner. I went to a very small school, so it's not like we were very fast or very good, but that's kind of where it started for me. Of course, distance running in high school was more like my races were 3 miles, my long runs were like 6 miles, but that is definitely where I started running. And then all throughout the beginning of college, I wanted to do a half marathon, but I never could like get myself to do it for whatever reason. Like I would start a training plan and then not finish it. And then I met my best friend, her name's Vanessa, who had very similar goals. And we trained for a half marathon together and we ran it. And then that led to training for a marathon right after that. So it was kind of a slow progression in terms of increasing my distance over a long period of time. But yeah, I kind of started like seriously running further distances in probably 2022. Yeah.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So you had a little bit of a base when you were getting going from cross country and that kind of thing. Was that like, did you still maintain that base up until when you were starting to train for your half marathon, or were you kind of starting over at that point?
Yeah. So I went through a lot of phases, lots of ups and downs with running over the years between high school and 2022. So I graduated high school in 2018. I ran through high school. And in that gap, I went through lots of ups and downs with it. Lots of periods of time where I would get really into it and then kind of fall off the wagon. So I think when I decided to finally start training for that half marathon that I did run in 2022, it was kind of like starting from scratch again. I was a lot slower than I was in high school. It took a little bit longer to get back into it. But so that definitely had lulls over the years where I would kind of fall off of it and revisit.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense. Especially like we're never going to be what we were in high school. It's like I think about what I was doing back when I was in high school and like the physical, I don't even know, things that we were involved in. And it's just insane how much you change like the older you get with this kind of thing.
Absolutely. But
when you guys were like thinking about training for your first half marathon, did you guys have any training plans in mind that you were looking to follow, or what did that side look like?
Yeah. So for our first one, I had been using the Nike Run Club app super casually through high school just to track my runs. Cause at the beginning of all of this, and when I was running in high school, I didn't have even like a smartwatch to track runs on. So I'd always track them on my phone. So I had used some of the guided runs on that app. And I'd used it to train for like a 10K or something like that. So we used the Nike Run Club app half marathon training plan for the first one. And it went really well. We liked it. I feel like starting out, I really liked it as a beginning to run longer distances because they had those, they had guided runs where a coach would kind of talk you through it and tell you like what effort you're supposed to be going at and how that should feel and stuff like that. So I think when I was first getting introduced to like doing really long runs and then like interval runs and stuff like that, it was helpful to have somebody to kind of talk through it. So I loved it for my first one. That's what we used.
Totally. Yeah. I know a lot of people like that one, the Nike Run Club app. I think the guided runs are great in the beginning because you're just like, you're not really sure what you're supposed to be doing effort wise in the beginning. It's like you can go out and sprint for 3 miles on accident, like if you don't have the right materials. So I think that's great. You said that you trained with your friend for that first one. Is that what you felt like really got you to like stick with it? To run your first half, or your first half marathon?
I think so. I think it I was surrounded at that point in my life by a lot of people that were extremely motivated in school, but also in other aspects, like in fitness and in running and stuff like that. So I feel like being surrounded by people with similar goals made such a big difference for me. So yeah, it was awesome to just have somebody, and for her as well, for both of us to have somebody to hold us accountable, because she was kind of in the same boat. She had wanted to run one, but had never really gotten around to sticking with the training plan and everything. So yeah, I think the support system, especially for the first one, was huge. Like, while developing all of the habits that it takes to get through an entire training plan, like being very consistent and doing the runs each week, it was really nice to have somebody to, I guess, lean on for support and to motivate me. Yeah, it was really, really helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. Just like have an accountability buddy that you can bounce ideas off of, probably tell how you're feeling too. If you're feeling like something's not feeling
exactly
right, you can kind of communicate that with them. So yeah, that's great.
Exactly.
Cool. So how did we progress from there? You said you pretty quickly signed up for your first marathon after that first half marathon.
Yeah.
So how did we get there?
So we ran that first half marathon, which was, it was kind of rocky. It was okay. My best friend that ran with me flew in from Italy like the morning of, because she was traveling with a friend for and didn't want to miss it. So it was like a chaotic half marathon, but we ran that. And then we were talking literally like the next week. So,
yeah. And where do you feel like, because over a long period of training, I'm sure there was a lot of ups and downs and everything. Where do you feel like were kind of some of the low points in training for you?
I feel like points in my running and training that I have had kind of lulls have really just been times when life is busier. Like I've been in grad school for the last 2 years, and during times where that was really stressful, with like a paper being due, or I'm also have always worked through school, so if work was really busy and school was really busy at the same time, those are always times where running has kind of had to take the back burner to other things in my life, which I think is normal to kind of have to prioritize other things on occasion. Also just when I started working full time, adjusting to fitting training for races into my schedule again was kind of challenging. But I think most of the times I've been able to still kind of find and maintain some kind of balance, even if that means running 2 days a week instead of 4 days a week. It's a nice outlet. So it's especially important during times like that are really stressful that I have running to kind of use as free therapy. So
for sure.
So yeah, lulls are really just when times are busy, I guess. In winter, I don't like running outside in the winter. The weather's horrible.
In winter, so. Yeah, weather plays. It's either we either are complaining about it being too cold, or we're complaining about it being too hot. I feel like it's never the perfect time.
I know. I would much rather be too hot, I think, is what
would
I'm
you
doing.
Really? Oh yeah, I would probably be the opposite. I would run in 19 degree weather before I ran. Like today I ran and it was like 89 degrees, 50 something percent humidity, and I was like, I'm done, I'm out of here.
Oh my gosh, it is tough in the summer too, but I love getting to the end of summer and then it's fall and you realize like,
yes,
oh wait, I have been getting more in shape as the summer went on, even though I felt sluggish and hot,
yes,
and miserable the entire time. It's always nice to get to the end of it and you're like, oh wait, I feel kind of athletic now that it's 60 degrees out. Yeah, exactly.
Right, you get your pace back after summer takes 30 seconds off of your entire time.
I know, like, why do I feel like I'm getting less in shape as I'm running more, with the weather being like 85 and so humid? Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's so humbling.
Yeah,
I'm always happy to be on the other side though.
Oh my gosh, yeah, for real.
So yeah, you were training for a marathon with having a lot going on. You said you were in grad school, you had a part-time job, all of that. So like, what are some tips that you have for keeping running as a priority through marathon training while having some of those things, you know, going on and taking your time?
I think as I getting through the first half marathon training thing was probably more challenging than it has been since then, because now I just am at a place where I don't give myself a choice. I am like, I know I have this goal. I know this goal is important to me. And there are going to be so many days where I don't want to do it. There are so many days where it's easier not to get out the door. But I just have to remember why I'm doing all of it. You know what I mean? And
yes.
So I guess I just kind of refocus and I'm like, okay, unless I have a legitimate reason that I'm not keeping my commitments to myself, like if I'm sick, I'm not going to make myself go. But
Right.
I've gotten a lot better over time at keeping the promises I make to myself, I think. And I think running has been the biggest tool for that in learning to keep the promises I make to myself and following through with commitments I make for me. I've always been a good at following commitments I make for other people, but
Of
sometimes
course.
The commitments I make to myself are a little more wishy-washy. So
yeah,
I don't know. Just getting better at that over time and kind of a skill that you can strengthen.
For sure. Yeah. And I think it's funny because I think we think of, like, when we think of runners, we think of the Boston qualifying group and the people who are have these big goals or they want to run like the six major marathons and all of this. But it's those goals require them to be so strict that they have to keep commitments to ourselves. And I think some of us runners that are a little bit like not taking it as serious, maybe we have goals for ourselves, but we're not really doing it for anybody else. Like, it is hard to make commitments to yourself and stick to them. So I think that's a great point. Like, the more consistent you are, the more you're going to continue to show up for yourself in that way. And running can be a great way to do that.
Exactly. I totally agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So opposite question then, what were the high points of training? When were you feeling like, all right, this thing is actually doable and I'm feeling like I can accomplish this?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I feel like I just remember using those silly little guided Nike Run Club runs where, I don't know, have you ever used them in the past? Do you know Coach Bennett?
I don't know specifically, but I have used like the coaching programs before, yes.
Okay, well, there's this one coach on the Nike Run Club app. His name's Coach Bennett, and he always says the most wise, insightful things. I would die for him. And there were just so many moments running on the trail with my best friend in the world where we were both like listening to the same guided run, and he would say something like, find the magic, like find the magic in what you're doing right now. And you would look around and it's like, I'm in the forest and the trees are green and there's these little animals out here and like the wind is blowing and I'm with my best friend and like life is so good. So there were lots of high points in the midst of the long, arduous runs where it's like, you know what,
yes,
this really is so fortunate that I'm able to do this because I'm so lucky to have a body that lets me do this and a friend that will do this with me. So there's just, I think finding gratitude was a big thing to kind of get back up after feeling discouraged about runs or whatever.
For sure.
Also just like the race itself, crossing the finish line was fantastic. Always is.
Yeah. That's what hooks you, hooks us. Is
yeah, exactly.
The medals are great, obviously, but the finish line feeling is huge for sure.
Huge, yeah.
And shout out to Coach Bennett for giving you a moment to like look inward and really appreciate what's going on around you.
My
I think
man.
That's great.
I love him.
It's good to slow down because you get in your own head really easily on a run. Like I think you said that it's a great processing tool when you have a lot going on, but sometimes the voices are loud and it's hard to get out of your own head and appreciate what you're doing. But anytime that, you can appreciate, you know, that you're out in nature or that the weather's nice that day or that you're feeling good on a run, that's just going to help you tremendously, like in life in general.
Exactly. Yeah. Running can kind of be like a little meditative, reflective moment if you can get out of how miserable your body feels. And I think that's something I also appreciate about it. Kind of gives an opportunity to think about things and just be grateful for my two legs that carry me so far. It's kind of just
totally
crazy. Yeah.
Well, cool. And then you said that you gave yourself a really long time to train. When or what was your top mileage that you hit? Did you hit like a 20-mile run, 21, 22? What was your top mileage?
Our top mileage was 20 before the marathon, which was what our training plan called for. So we just kind of stuck with it.
Yeah.
20 was a big scary one for us. I remember being like very nervous about that run. So the longest we did was 20. I think that was a couple weeks before the marathon.
Yeah. So felt pretty nervous going into it. What was the actual run like? Did you get to do it with your friend? You guys did every single training run together for the most part?
Yeah, we didn't do all of our training runs together, but we always tried to coordinate for our long runs, which we appreciated. It's always nice to have company when you're out. And we've always had very similar paces, so it was always just nice and relaxed. And going out for that one, we had canceled everything else we had on that Saturday because
yeah,
we
for
were
sure.
like, This is going to be a doozy. So we went out, and I remember the first half being surprisingly good, like really not bad at all. And then we probably, I think we split up around mile 15 because, you know, when if you do run with a friend a lot and you do long ones with a friend, you'll realize that there are times when one person just feels way worse than the other. So there's always a point when we do our long runs together where one of us is like, go on without me. That's on your own. So yeah. I remember the last probably 5 miles being a real drag, just because I think it was mostly mental. I hadn't done anything longer than like, I think it was like 15 or 16 miles was my long run before the 20-mile run. So it was just like, oh my gosh, this is insane. But I felt surprisingly good after, which was surprising.
Yeah, that's a big jump. I feel like that's like a big jump in your training plan going from 16 to 20. Like,
yeah, I don't remember why it was that way. I think we must have skipped one, to be honest.
Well, all worked out. You still ran it. There's no like one way to do the whole thing. And anytime anybody's like, I didn't do it right the first time around, I'm like, then you're just proof that anybody can run a marathon. And we love that. So,
exactly.
Were you dialing in any sort of like nutrition plan for your marathon or doing any sort of practice with fuel or anything like that for your longer runs?
Yeah. I mean, I had been just kind of figuring out what worked for me. Fueling is so important. I am a dietitian, so more so than anybody else, I'm like such a fuel advocate. And I was just kind of figuring out what products work best for me more so. I knew like I like to fuel when I've been running for like 40 minutes or so, and then every kind of 30 or 40 minutes after that is what I do. And I don't like Goos, like the regular Goo brand. I tried that. I tried to like them. I tried to get them down and I cannot. They make me gag. They make me sick to my stomach. But I found that I really liked Humas, which are a chia seed based goo. Those sat a lot better in my stomach. So I became addicted to those. They also, there's a raspberry one that literally tastes like raspberry jam. So I started using those a lot. And then Honey Stinger waffles. I love those too. They taste like cookies. I could eat them as a snack when I'm not running. They're so good. So
yeah,
those are my two go-tos. I also found that I like Jelly Belly makes sport beans, they're called, which are little electrolyte caffeinated jelly beans. So I like those too. But yeah, I tried to do like, if I knew I was gonna be running for more than an hour, I would try to do something between like 40 minutes and an hour, and then probably every 30 or 40 minutes after that. It's crazy what a difference it makes if you don't fuel well in the way you feel during and especially after a run like that. So yeah, love it. Love nutrition.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll have to ask you a little bit more about like what you've changed since your first marathon for sure. We can definitely get back to that since you're a dietitian and you know that world a little bit more.
Yeah,
but
totally.
Good that you were practicing. I always kind of preach like trial and error with nutrition for sure.
100%,
like you said,
yeah.
Tried the Goos, they didn't sit right in your stomach. That's pretty common with a lot of those different gels. There's always going to be one that kind of sits sideways. I think it also probably depends on the time of year too. Like when you're hot and sweating a lot more, you're going to need something a little bit different. So always just make sure you're trying a few different things. And the 20 mile runs, the 16, 15 mile runs, those are perfect times to practice your strategy for sure.
Yeah. Plenty of time to practice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Cool. So you had your 20-mile run, and then did your plan have you do some sort of taper in between your longest run and your marathon? Cool.
Yeah.
What did that look like?
I don't remember what the runs were, but I know there was a taper week, and it must have just been like a really light, easy week, I think. Probably the longest run we did that week was, I don't know. I feel like it was 5 miles, but I don't remember. So it was a really chill week in comparison to what we had been doing. So, yeah.
Yeah. So cut down significantly. And how were you guys feeling like mentally leading up to the race? Like the week of when it's coming up on the weekend, what was going through your head?
Yeah. So this race was in Northern Maine, which, and it was in December. So during that time of year in that part of Maine, it's starting to get cold. It's really starting to act like winter. So we were checking the weather religiously for the weeks leading up to it. And as we were checking the forecast, probably the week before, we realized that there was snow in the forecast that day. So we were both like, oh gosh, this is like we may be physically ready to run this marathon, but we don't have clothes that are going to keep us warm for 26 miles. So we both panicked. We went to Dick's Sporting Goods. We bought headbands to cover our ears and gloves and insulated leggings. And then that kind of, we felt okay for a few days after that. And we checked the weather again. And then it was saying rain.
Oh, geez.
So we were like, okay, first of all, like, what are we going to do if the weather's really bad? Are we still going to do it? And we both decided there's no way we're not doing this, because I have told everybody I know. I can't tell them now that I'm not doing it. And we were going with several of our friends too, we had a lot of friends doing the half marathon that day. So it was already a big event that we were all going to go to together. So we were very determined. We were like, first of all, there's no way we're not doing this. But second of all, it's looking like it's going to be miserable. So we were excited, but definitely nervous.
Yeah. That's just, there's a big difference between snow and rain for a race. Like, I've never ran in snow for a race, but I ran in snow for a training run. And it's a big difference, because the rain it's going to be cold. If they were calling for, you know, snow in the forecast, you guys are just going to be freezing. Things are going to be stuck to you. Like, yeah, I could see why you were stressing a little bit leading up to that one. So did you guys change any sort of strategy knowing that it was going to rain, or you were still like, nope, we're going to do this. We're going to figure it out. We're going through this together no matter what.
Yeah. We were like, let's just go.
Yeah.
Let's just go do it. Let's just like see if we can do it.
Yeah.
You know, we, are very much type 2 fun kind of people. So we do love a little struggle. We were like, it's going to be hard. There's no way it's not going to be hard, but we're going to do it either way. And I'm not stopping until I finish it. So that was kind of our mindset going into it.
Yeah. Better for the story, right? It'll give you something to tell the people. But
do it for the plot. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Cool. So let's break down marathon day then. What were the first, let's say, like 10 to 13 miles like for you?
Okay. So we got there, and it was at the time of the start of the race, sprinkling. And we really honestly didn't know that much about what this course was going to be like. So anyway, we split up into the marathoners and the half marathoners, because the half marathon people were starting just a little bit after us. So we lined up, and we realized that there were probably not as many people as we thought would be running the marathon or running the marathon. I think a lot of people had dropped down to the half because of the weather. So we were lined up with our little group of people. The race started, and as soon as we were out of sight, there was an enormous hill. And so we started climbing this hill, and it was just never ending. The hill went on forever, and then we're running, and we were happy with our paces. It was pretty much what we wanted. We were not fast. We were like, if we can just hold like an 11:30 mile, that will be good enough for us. Which our actual pace for the marathon ended up being slower than that. First 10 miles, though, we were doing okay. We were realizing this course is going to be way hillier than we thought it was going to be. The weather was not that bad yet, still sprinkling, but nothing crazy. And we were feeling okay. We were feeling okay, miles 1 to 10, I would say. We were optimistic.
Sure, sure. So nothing really crazy. And had it started raining at that point, or was it still kind of just sprinkling for the first 10?
It was a nice drizzle. Okay. I do remember also, within the first 10 miles, we realized that some of the terrain was not super easy to run on, because part of the race was on dirt roads, which we were initially very excited about just because it's so much more easy on the knees than pavement is. But that dirt road was covered in like this much slush and ice. So we were slipping and sliding all over the place. But the energy was good, I would say. The marathon course was 2 13.1-mile laps. So
gotcha.
During that first lap, we were with a ton of other people. The energy was great. When we were going to turn onto the second lap, there were tons of spectators and everything. So the energy was good. We're feeling good. Final answer. It was not bad.
Good. I'm surprised, like, you said free run, and I was picturing like a smaller local race, but it sounds like there was quite a bit of crowd. Like, were the aid stations pretty good too? It was pretty well organized.
So there are some quirks about this race, because it is free. So the whole kind of point of this race being free is to kind of boost the local economy in this town. It's in Millinocket, Maine, which is a very small town, super far north. And so the whole goal of this race is to kind of boost the local economy. They want people coming to the businesses, and their only kind of caveat is Okay, race registration is free as long as you go to the local businesses and spend money at the local businesses, which is so nice and so fair. And it's a cute little town. It was lovely, but because it was free, all of the aid stations were volunteers. And when I say volunteers, not like race organized volunteers, it was like people that came out of their homes with a TV tray and put water bottles on
Oh,
it, or like
geez.
grandma who lives in East Millinocket baked brownies and brought them out for the runners and
Oh
stuff like
my
that.
gosh.
So they were not organized aid stations. So because of that, we had absolutely no idea how far apart any of them were going to be. So, and I was not prepared, to be honest. And they very explicitly say this in the race information. They're like, don't count on there being water, don't count on there being fuel. But I didn't bring like a water pack with me or anything. So it was the first lap was kind of like getting our bearings, like, okay, where are the aid stations going to be? What's this going to be like? So, and unfortunately, during our second lap, most of the aid stations had picked up and left. So we had aid stations for the first lap, which I was grateful for. And I'm grateful to all of the Millinocket locals who pulled up with their trays.
Yes.
Oh, also, they were handing out shots of Fireball and like
Oh my
Fireball
gosh.
nips. So, like, I didn't take any. I couldn't. I was like, I'll throw up everywhere. But it was just like really like fun, energetic. All the locals are out for this race. It's awesome. It was cool.
Yeah, kind of fun. Kind of like it's a unique race experience for sure to just have like random people out, I guess, running the aid stations, and it's a
Yeah.
surprise. You never know what you're gonna get.
It was very small town Maine for sure.
Yeah. But I guess, yeah, you were kind of mapping the aid stations the first lap around. You had no idea that the second time around it was going to be completely different. So, like, what was that second lap right like for you guys?
Oh, Taylor, this is where things start to go south for Vanessa and I. So we finally reached the turnoff point where the half marathon, we were approaching the finish line essentially. So the half marathoners were finishing and we were about to veer off to finish our second, to do the second lap. So we're only halfway done. There's so many people cheering us on. You're almost done, you're almost done. And we're like, no, we're not. We're halfway done. And so when we turned off to start our second lap, there was not a soul that turned off at the same time as us. It was like we were the only runners in the world doing the full marathon. So as soon as we turn off, there's like not a person in sight ahead of us, not a person in sight behind us. We're just in the woods of northern Maine running this marathon by ourselves, essentially, is what it felt like. And at this point, the rain picks up. So it's a downpour. We're both absolutely drenched starting the second lap, which this course was so hilly, so much more hilly than we anticipated. So by now we're in pain. And my poor friend hurt her knee somehow, which she later ended up needing to have surgery on. So she
Oh
injured
my
her knee during
gosh.
this marathon. So she's like, I couldn't have my AirPods in to listen to music because it was pouring rain. All I can hear is my poor friend moaning and groaning beside me because she's like in extreme pain. And there's not a soul in sight and not a single aid station out, which is nobody's fault but my own because I didn't bring any water. But I had had some forethought on the first lap and I picked up two little water bottles to carry with me because I was like, I just have this feeling that this second lap is not going to be the same as the first one because there's not going to be as many runners, which was true. So the second lap was a totally different race, it felt like. It was like that's when the struggle really started. That's when there was no longer any aid stations. And Vanessa, my friend, was down bad. So it was like, it was a long lap. I won't lie. The second lap was long. But, it had its moments. We got to a point where we were just making little deals with ourselves, like, oh, we can walk the first 0.1 of every mile and then just try to run the rest of the mile, and then we'll do it again once we get to the next mile. So we were just like playing games with ourselves to try to get through it. And then so we finally get to the finish line and we're so thrilled to be there, of course. And everybody had left except for our immediate families and our like three friends that had run the half marathon and had been waiting in the rain for us for the next 3 hours. So
Oh
we get
my
to the finish
gosh.
line. We got to the finish line when they were actively taking down the finish banner.
Stop.
And they like half hung it up for us as we were crossing. I finished like just a few minutes before her because we split up right at the end because she was really struggling and she was like, "You don't need to wait with me, just go." So I finished just a little bit before, as they were taking down the banner, and it was like just my parents and my boyfriend and three friends, and that was the finish line celebration. It was just like
My
the five of
gosh.
us, but totally understandable because there was like nobody else running this marathon. Everybody had run the half, and so it was kind of an underwhelming finish. But that being said, it was still amazing because the people we cared about most were there. We had just done something that we had been wanting to do for like the year leading up to it. And, but we, that was in December of 2022. And I haven't run one since. I'm running one this October, but I haven't done one since because it was like low key traumatic.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I'm just sitting here like glued in because that I just can't even imagine running a marathon without spectators, without like real aid stations, with it's just you guys fe were really feeding off of your own energy, which is like props to you guys. That's super impressive that you were able to mentally push yourself through something like that. And then the rain too. That's just like
Oh,
you could have easily DNF'd and I would not have looked down on you at all for something like that.
I think a lot of people did. When we were looking at the results, it was like a lot of marathoners that were on the list just didn't have a time. And we personally had another friend from college that was running the full marathon who ended up DNFing. A lot of people just stopped at the halfway point after they realized how bad it was going to be. So,
Right.
but we weren't accepting that. We were like, we're doing it. I don't care. Blood, sweat, and tears. We're putting it all into this, which we did. It was a lot. It was amazing though. It was hard, I
Yeah,
guess.
absolutely. Yeah, so kind of an opposite feeling to your first half marathon feeling where you were like, all right, new next race, let's go, let's sign up for this thing. We're hooked.
No,
You were like
seriously.
one and done. We're good. Well, like did you even have any future plans at that point, or were you really like, that's a wrap on my marathon career?
So I knew I wanted to do another one because in my
Okay.
mind it was like I have to get redemption for how bad this race felt to me. I was like, I know that it didn't have to be that bad. And I had things in my mind that I wanted to do differently for the next time, like more cross training. I felt like I didn't give my body as much love as it needed, like in terms of stretching and cross training and taking really good care of myself in ways other than running. So I was like, I need
Yeah.
to do this again. But I physically and mentally only have the space in my life for like one marathon a year. So I did sign up for one last fall and had full intentions of running it. And then my just randomly, my dad had a kidney transplant get scheduled for
Oh
like the
my
same day.
gosh.
So I ended up not running it because I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna go to the hospital with him and be with my family for this whole period of time. So I ended up scratching last year's marathon. So I really did have intentions to run another one. I just wasn't able to last year just because of life. So yeah, this year we're getting back. And
We're
I
doing it. Yeah.
swear it's gonna be better than the first one.
I think you have nothing but up to go from here based on that
I
first
think so
experience.
too.
You had so many things. This next marathon is going to be a piece of cake because you have
I'm
this
hoping.
experience too to
I
compare it
know.
to.
I'm hoping it's a breeze. There's no way it will feel as bad, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, like kind of, I know it sucked and I know I'm totally speaking out of turn here because I did not go through that experience, but maybe it's good that you kind of started at the bottom so that every marathon from here, you're like, well, at least it wasn't as bad as the first one, you
No,
know?
exactly. That's what we say. We're like, you know what? No matter how bad it is, there's no way it's gonna be that bad again.
Yeah,
And
totally.
this year it's really special because I'm working with a company that puts on a lot of my favorite races already. Like a lot of the half marathons I've run have been through Ventures Endurance, is this race organization, and I'm an ambassador for them this year. So now I not only
Cool.
get to run that marathon, but I get to make videos for it and I get to bring a friend. So it's just awesome. It's a really great opportunity and I'm really looking forward to reclaiming the 26.2 mile distance.
Absolutely.
I did tell myself though, if it is as bad as the first one, no, not again.
Done. I think
And
that would be hard. I think that would be
I think
hard,
so too.
but.
I think so too.
But cool that you get to kind of come back for your redemption run this year. So, and you mentioned you're doing a few things different. So what are you
Yeah.
changing this time around that you feel like, helping you?
I realized after the marathon, the first one, I felt physically horrible for a while after. Like, my joints felt so stiff and rickety. I felt like I was 8 years old, like I couldn't move. And I was like, okay, I did not strength train the way I should have. So I'm trying now, or not trying, I am going to prioritize cross training a lot more. And also, I'm now using a training plan on the Runna app instead of the Nike app. And I'm finding that I just enjoy that a lot more so far. That I feel like I like the way it's set up, because the training plan kind of increases mileage, and then you have a deload week where it's a little more chill, and then you have some tough weeks and then another deload week. So I feel like it's going to be easier on my body that way. And also, with this training plan, I was able to be really specific about how many days I want to run per week and what days I want them to be. So the training plan is just a lot more catered to me, which I feel like makes it a lot easier for me to follow. Also, it did cost money. So, I mean, Nike Run Club was free, so that was nice too.
Yeah.
But I genuinely do really like this app. Not sponsored. They do not know me. But I do love, sure. I love the Run app. That's been awesome. I've been doing that differently. And then cross training. And also, this is a new one. Haven't really been doing so good at it yet, but I'm trying to do like a more serious warm up before I start running. During the first marathon training, I didn't warm up at all before a run. I would just go out the door and start running. And I'm just trying to be kinder to my body, I think, as a whole, and give it a little more respect for carrying me on really long runs. In terms of nutrition, I'm not really doing anything differently. I ate a lot during that training plan. I'm going to eat a lot during this one. So
yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you at least had that part dialed in. And now you're just kind of fine tuning all the other areas, which is good.
Yeah.
But I really like the way you put that you're trying to like be kinder to your body, and you're trying to give back to yourself what your body gave to you. I think that that's a great way to look at it. And a lot of people that maybe are thinking strength training is too much or a warm up is too much, like you can reframe that to you're being kind to yourself. I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, for sure. Maintaining the body that will let you run 20 miles.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm also doing more speed work, which I kind of slacked off on during the marathon training. I think because I wasn't cross training, I was just feeling really tired after my really long run. So I just felt like I don't have the energy to do a bunch of speed work on top of running really high mileage on the weekends. But this time I've been prioritizing speed work too, and like doing my interval runs, and I feel like it's gonna work wonders for my pace. It already is. I've never had an issue with being a slow runner finishing at the back of the pack. That does not bother me at all. But it is nice also, after 2 years of running very consistently, to see my pace getting a little bit better.
Sure.
So
yeah,
I'm prioritizing that too, which I haven't in the past.
Yeah, it's just a different goal. I feel like for me, like in for my first marathon, you kind of get the dopamine hit from increasing mileage every weekend. Every weekend you're getting a little bit better, but after your first year of running, your first couple years of running, like you've already done that. You can do it all
so
over
true.
Again. But pace is maybe something new to shoot for. At least maybe that's how I think
about
it.
That's so true too. And yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I didn't realize I felt that way until you said it. But it is I've already done all those distances before, but I haven't done it at this pace before. So it is nice to kind of see myself get stronger in that way too.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. Well, thanks for breaking down your marathon experience.
That was
quite the experience. I'm looking forward for your redemption run coming up next.
Me too.
I'm curious, like, if you could give any advice to somebody who's maybe thinking about running their first marathon, what advice would you give them?
Slow down. It's not that serious. do it because you enjoy it. You don't have to be running a 7-minute mile to run a marathon. You don't have to have a certain body type to run a marathon. You can literally do it. There was a time in my life where I didn't think that it would be physically possible for me. And it turns out that pretty much anybody can do it, I think. So yeah, something that made a big difference for me was really slowing down on my easy runs and taking my long runs nice and slow too. I feel like that was what finally clicked so that I was able to run like 10 miles. So slow down, first of all. Second of all, like, it's not that serious. If you have to miss a run, you're still a runner. You can make up for it. The world's not going to stop turning. So take yourself seriously, but not so serious that you make it un- unfun for yourself.
Yeah. It's like, take it serious enough so that you're prepared, but like, don't kill yourself so that when you're done with the marathon, you never want to run another one. It's something that you want to take through, you know, just your first race experience and continue to keep in your life, for sure.
Keep it fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find the magic. Find the magic, as Coach Bennett said to me one time.
Yeah, I love that. Gonna have to tag him, give him creds for that one.
Yeah. One time he commented on one of my TikTok videos, and I like
stop.
I was like, because my mom loves him too. I sent it to him. You'll never believe.
You're like local celebrity in the Nike Run Club app. I love that.
It's so niche. Like, nobody knows who he is except for me.
That's great.
So, yeah. Anyway, shout out to Coach Bennett for getting me through a marathon.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, then I'm curious, since you're a dietitian as well, like, what advice would you give for the fuel side of things, the nutrition side of things? Like, what really helped you as a dietitian?
I just think, don't underestimate the importance of fueling your body. You're asking a lot of your body when you're training for a marathon. And I just think it's so important to feed your body well. And like, I try to, one of the big things I try to do is have something pretty substantial to eat after a long run within like 30, 45 minutes. I will never go on a run that's longer than an hour without bringing some sort of fuel with me. I just don't underestimate how much better you will feel if you are consuming enough food and electrolytes and fluids and stuff like that. It really can make or break an experience, I think.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I think you don't really know how important it is until the first time that you like boink on a run or like, you know, you don't make it all the way through and then you're like, okay, maybe I need to work on this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But no, that's great. And then the last couple of questions I like to ask are just about some of your favorite things that you've liked over time. I always give the disclaimer, like, this is your own journey. Like we said in the beginning, you should use trial and error for a lot of this stuff. Everybody's body is a little bit different. So for fuel, you said that you really like the Huma stuff. Is that what you've kind of been sticking with now? Or do you have any other favorites that you like?
I do love the Humas and I love Honey Stinger waffles still, but half the time now I just eat candy. Yeah. I've definitely I'm running for 12 miles and I love to be able to have a sweet little treat in the middle. So like half the time I bring like gummy worms or Nerd Clusters. I love Nerd Clusters. So yeah, my favorite fuel is definitely still Humas and also like candy.
Yeah. Yeah. Candy's great. It's a good inexpensive option. It can get really expensive to try a bunch of different fuel options. So if you're not looking to spend a ton of money, I think that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Just any kind of quick carb, like a carb, a very simple carb that will digest really fast. I feel like in my mind, the only difference between like a goo and a piece of like Laffy Taffy is the electrolytes. So if I can get my electrolytes elsewhere and eat candy, then I will.
Yeah, that's great. And then shoes, like what shoes have you liked over time? Do you have any shoes now that you're really loving? How has that changed?
I have been a loyal Hoka Clifton girl for the last 2 or 3 years. I have always in the past, running in high school, had issues with shin splints, and I tried a bunch of different Nike sneakers back in high school, and then I ran in Sauconys and I ran in Brooks, and for some reason Hoka are the only ones that don't hurt my shins. And also I have extremely wide feet, like, and I need wide sneakers, and Hoka sells wide sneakers that are cute colors, which nobody else sells wide sneakers that are cute colors. Like you can have wide sneakers, but they're black, but Hoka has them in fun colors. So I will just be loyal to them probably until I die now.
Cool. Yeah. A lot of people really love Hokas. My mom just got a pair of Hokas and she's obsessed with them. So I know they're a great shoe for a lot of people.
I like them. What do you run in? Do you like them? What do you use?
I haven't tried Hoka, to be honest. Yeah. I'm more inclined to try them now that I've had this podcast because a lot of people really love them. But I've been a Brooks girl since I started running my first 10K. I've always loved Brooks, so I'm a little like hesitant to try something else because I like them so much. I'm sure you feel that way about Hokas too.
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, girl.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. And then we know you got this race coming up. I forget if I asked, but when is this this next marathon taking place for you?
Yeah, so it's in mid-October, October 20th, I think. But I have some fun things other than that too, I'm running like a 10K with some friends, and I'm running a half marathon in San Francisco, which I'm so excited
Ooh,
about.
cool.
I've never been to the West Coast, but we're running a half marathon there in November. So I think, yeah, the next, oh, and I'm running another half marathon a couple weeks before the marathon too, because my mom is running her first half marathon.
That's so fun.
And so I have to be there with her for that. So I have the main half marathon in Portland, Maine in October. Then I have the marathon I'm running in October in New Hampshire. And then half marathon in San Francisco. And kind of until then, I'm just kind of training and vibing.
Yeah, but it's
Yeah.
good to have races to break up training. It gets a little monotonous
Yeah.
when you don't have anything on the calendar. So,
Yeah,
and you'll love San
exactly.
Francisco. That my mom's whole family's from there. I'm from the West Coast, so
Oh
I
my
could
gosh.
gush about it for an hour. But yeah, you'll love San
Good.
Francisco. It's beautiful.
Awesome. I'll message you for recommendations then.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. Well, thank you again for walking through everything. And if anybody wants to follow along with you and see what's coming up next for this race, where can they find you?
Oh my gosh, what's my TikTok name? Hold on, let me find
You're
out.
good.
I changed it to take my last name out of it, and then I can't remember I changed it to. My TikTok is dot it's Emma Ray. That's my name. Ray with that's spelled RAE. Period. It's Emma Ray, RAE. That's my TikTok. That's where I post about running more than anywhere else. My Instagram is more like my personal life, but it's EM dot Denbo, DENBOW. That's where you can find me.
Perfect.
But TikTok's more fun. I have more fun videos
Cool. I'll make sure to link them both so everyone can see them.
there.
But
Yeah.
yeah, just thank you again. It was great to meet you, and looking forward to seeing what's next for you
Thank you
coming
so much
up.
for having me. This was so fun.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying MFM, it would mean a lot to me if you could rate and review this episode wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know anyone training right now, I'd love if you shared it with them too. See you on the next one.